encouraged, not burdened by the history that they create. They know what is expected of them. They are Manchester United.
Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Dams. I'm joined by Nathan Heinchel today, who missed out on the Monday pod, and Paulie's missing out today for a post-game victory podcast in which we've got wins both in the Europa League and in our agenda.
Yes, it's been an excellent day for the hashtag the agenda. It's been a massive day for anybody who wears gloves. Martial FC, we ride again. And I'll tell you what, Liz Truss, the ground you stand on, shaky, the prime minister's coming. The real prime minister.
A brace for Rashford. He's got, what, 5 goals on the season now? By the way, you know, just looking at the goal standings, looking pretty nice. I know Sancho had a bad game today, but he's got a couple on the season. Martial's got 4 on the season now. Rashford's got 5. I mean, that's giving me some good vibes already. Even though it's an away game in the Europa League in Cyprus against Omonia Nicosia.
Yeah. No, Paulie said this at the beginning of the season, that if United's not going to be good, right, the greatest sin would be that they wouldn't be fun. And outside of the first half of that Manchester City game, since the quote-unquote turnaround happened, following the first 2 games of the Premier League season, you know, United's been relatively fun to watch. We've had a couple weird ones where you're like, but also you're starting to see a lot of people make that correlation between Ten Hag compromise ball and what Ollie ball was, because you know we still have most of those same players. So Ten Hag's looking like, oh, maybe that really was like the best way to play with this team as it was constructed. So that's what I'm gonna have to do, is until I can continue to filter in more of my guys, because this game in Cyprus was like watching full court basketball transition plays, which is something that is certainly enticing for me. You know, I don't care about making 27 passes before scoring a goal. I like 2 passes, and you know, we scored within 15 seconds of the ball being in our half. So in that regard, also, who were the goal scorers? That I think today there were some weird things, and there's definitely some negatives out of the Europa League game that need to be addressed like immediately. But yeah. There was also enough vibes to cancel out the bad stuff. So we're like at a 55-45 good vibes to bad vibes split right now. And right. Like 43% of those bad vibes are wearing number 7.
It was, and we'll get to, you know, unpacking some of that, because, you know, coming up at the weekend, there are some implications from this game that could affect even the starting 11 from, you know, the Premier League matches that Erik ten Hag likes to send out. But we wanted to start on the positives. And, I mean, there were hardly any in the first half, but Rashford and Martial both coming off the bench, scoring in this one to give United the lead and ultimately the win. And really, that's just exactly what they needed in this game. They needed somebody to be a positive force, and they got 2 of them.
Yeah, and I think what was important, too, was kind of the circumstances of how they did it. I mean, coming off the bench, not initially getting the start and just coming in right there. Rashford had a goal within, what, 6 minutes of coming off the bench. And then Martial gives what was thought to be the game winner a few minutes later. I think that was all really positive. And not to mention, too, I mean, if you want to send the vibometer into another stratosphere, you just need to look at how Martial and Rashford scored those first 2 goals. I mean, they're really, really confident strikes, forceful strikes, ones from some distance, some ones that, you know, if your confidence is wavering at all as a forward, you're either not taking that shot or you're sailing that shot. And I was really impressed. We've seen Rashford score a couple of those this year now, and we're seeing Martial both in the City game, when he was like, well, nobody's going to blame this loss on me. And then today he's like, I'm going to play really well coming off the bench while I'm on the same, you know, I'm on the field with Ronaldo, and I'm going to just play better than him. Really, really positive from those 2. I think some of the forward play, though, this year or today was kind of sketchy with I texted our group chat after Antony just had a really weird one. And that makes me wonder, maybe, is he still just kind of getting comfortable with the team and the expectations of maybe who was sitting there in the center forward spot, that he tries to square a ball as opposed to just ripping a shot? I think, what was that, the 23rd or 24th minute? I mean, he's in on goal. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, you got to shoot the J. So, and then Sancho, a weird one. You know, Casey Evans, our friend of the pod, tweeted out, we need to have a conversation about Sancho, and I'm not ready to have that conversation yet.
Yeah, Brent's ready to bring up accusations about whether he has that dog in him anymore.
Yeah, is he a cat wearing a dog mask? We don't know.
I mean, but I think with Sancho, and this has been a problem in some of the Premier League games as well, is that United still aren't really doing the things that allow Sancho to play his best game. And while that part of that is on Sancho, because it's another one of those, you know, he's not super involved all the time. And when he is involved, it's a little bit disjointed. And some of that is on him. But also, I think that we need to play with a front three that has, you know, strong relationships between the players involved. We didn't really see that today with the starting lineup, at least with Sancho, who's never really played well next to Ronaldo on the left. Antony on the right, who's never really, I mean, he played with Ronaldo against Sharif, but that was it. So a lot of disjointedness in the forward line, I think, could have been expected. But it is worrying, because this is a match where United basically had the ball for 30 minutes to start the match and could do absolutely nothing with it.
Yeah, and we saw kind of a lot of old problems crop up. There was one section of the match where I remember, you know, Ammonia's got 8 guys just packed in perfectly, where I don't think the left and right sides of these two blocks of four were any wider than where the edge of the 18-yard boxes were, and they had it perfectly packed in. And all United was really doing was they'd have like a little penetrative pass that they would try and get to maybe the top of the box. They weren't really finding any movement, so then they'd have to cycle it back out, and the ball was just kind of, you know, going left and right, but it wasn't going forward. And then you get this situation where United really commits numbers, and Ammonia scores that goal in FIFA off of a corner kick in transition that makes you, you know, if you're of an angry disposition, throw your controller into the wall. Certainly none of us have ever done that here on the Busby Babe. We like to keep it low key and chill. For foot champs, but not div rivals.
I'll have like a throw pillow next to me on the couch that I can just punch angrily after I concede in Ultimate Team. I mean, Istanbul was actually here vibes on that first goal from.
The first thing I thought of too. It was once that ball crossed midfield, and
you're like, you've got
Malacia trying to back his ass up and into the attacker, and it was like, oh no, this is not going to go the way we want it to. And then sure enough, it happened exactly how we thought it would.
Yeah. Sorry if anyone in the recording hears a notification sound. Steam is trying to get me to buy the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim for like the 10th time in my life.
Yeah, but it's better on PC with mods, bro.
Right. I mean, I almost bought it on PS5 just because I'm like, well, it's on PS5. They probably upgraded it, right?
That's how they get you, bro.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the negatives. Obviously, we'll start with Cristiano Ronaldo.
He stinks.
Just the worst. I know that this is rhetoric speak that I usually rail against, because I don't like hearing pundits talk this way about players and overreacting and things. But I am being 100% serious and saying I think this is the worst I've ever seen him play. I mean, obviously the bar is high, because for 10-ish years, he was one of two players on the planet who were just above every other player. And he's put in some remarkable performances, but this was such a grounding performance for him that I question whether he should even start in future Europa League group stage games. I definitely don't think that at this rate, he's going to be useful for us in the knockout stages against better teams. But he had two clear-cut misses, as well as one where he neglected to shoot, and then a couple other shots where people were questioning whether he was actually trying to pass. One of them, you know, led to Marcus.
It turned out to be an assist.
Yeah, it turned out to be an assist. So, you know, at least he had that going for him. But I don't know what, if it's just his attitude, if it's just his confidence, if it's all of the above, but his, we do know from watching him that his technical ability is nowhere near where it used to be on top of everything else that's going on. And this was maybe the worst performance of his career.
Well, and people have said we've had it, you know, we've got our agendas here on the show.
We do. We definitely we have a lot of reasons, including non-football reasons, that we don't like him and we don't want Ronaldo playing for Manchester United. We will be open about it. We have biases, but
I really think you have got to be so far on the other end of your the line of biases to sit there and go like, well, Ronaldo wasn't supported in that game and that's why he played poorly, as opposed to just like, dude, he just wasn't on it tonight. But I don't know if it's a lack of confidence. I don't know if it's, you know, what's going on in there. Maybe it's just that old, like, oh man, I got to hit 700 and that weighs on you. Almost like if you're here in the States with us, you've seen this with the Aaron Judge home run thing that's been ruining college football for like 3 weeks. But he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat today. And, you know, we've always said when Ronaldo isn't scoring, what is he offering the team? And you're running into that problem of, well, is he making the right runs? In this instance, I think he did actually start trying to pass the ball.
He
even made
some very good runs. He had good positioning at times in this game.
Well, it felt like he started trying to actually make some passes when he was like, well, shit, I'm just not scoring today. So
he tried to set up Martial for one. Yeah,
and we saw it in the winter, in the summer, when there was the rumors that he was like, I'm going to force a move because I want to be at a Champions League club, which, whoa, buddy, I don't know what you'd be doing on Tuesday and Wednesday right now, besides watching the game with the rest of us. But, you know, Martial comes in and Martial is playing well. Over the summer, Martial is playing well. And had Martial not, you know, picked up a knock at the very beginning of the season, it's like, hey, would Ronaldo even have 90 cumulative minutes of play since the Premier League season started? There is something where it's just not working in Ten Hag's system, because Ten Hag is not setting up his system like Rangnick did to try and involve Ronaldo, because he's looking at it pragmatically of like, I'm not going to have this guy for very much longer, so why should I have to have my football work around him?
And somebody who didn't even want to be around in the summer when he was, you know, learning who his players were and learning how to have them play together. This was somebody who showed zero effort to be a part of that. So why? I think part of, you know, his weird quotes about him, and he didn't start him at the weekend because he, quote, didn't want to.
Oh, I tweeted about this today during the game.
He didn't want to like dishonor his career or anything by playing him in that game. I think he's just kind of saying what he has to and keeping his head down until this is over.
Because... Well, and what's ironic about that quote on the weekend with the Manchester City game, I don't want to ruin his legacy when we're already getting our teeth kicked in by Manchester City to bring out Ronaldo and then embarrass him because Ronaldo wasn't going to add anything in that game. If anything, it just would have looked bad for him. And like Ten Hag was right in that instance of like, well, this would reflect poorly on Ronaldo if he's a part of the stink of this game. So then Ten Hag puts out a masterclass of embarrassing Ronaldo by keeping him out there for 90 whole minutes. I mean, he just kept letting Ronaldo shoot. He's like, sure, you can try and get the 700th goal. And I couldn't believe it. Like when they announced like Martial's coming into the game and Ronaldo wasn't being taken out. And then you just kept having more and more substitutions where it's like, all right, surely they're going to take Ronaldo out. Cause I thought Antony might play 90 minutes in this game. Where it's like, all right, let's see what Martial, Antony, and Rashford all look together in that front three. And no, they yanked Antony out as opposed to Ronaldo, and Ronaldo stayed in for the whole game. But he, outside of a shot that turned into an assist to Marcus Rashford, I mean, the stats were rough. And that was on display for everybody. You know, I didn't exactly see a lot of positive tweets about Ronaldo's performance tonight. And so it's like that. The Derby probably would have had even more eyeballs on it than Thursday night Champions League. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who are probably watching this game tonight. And if we're going to get Ronaldo, if there's the rumor now that Ten Hag wants to let Ronaldo leave in January, like he'd let him do it. Mm-hmm. How does Ronaldo leave this club without us paying?
Right. He's
a lot of, if we're not going to get any money for Ronaldo, it's going to cost
valued us every minute he's on the pitch.
Yeah. We're going to pay for him to leave.
I mean, they're already basically paying him more wages than everyone except for Erling Haaland and Mo Salah.
Who's got it worse right now, LA with Russell Westbrook or us with Cristiano Ronaldo?
I mean, it's 100% Manchester United with Cristiano Ronaldo. So at least Russell Westbrook will, like, run back and play defense or something, you know?
That's true. He'll shoot a lot of threes, though, and not make a whole lot, which is what we saw tonight.
He can still have a triple-double while playing bad.
I would say right now, vibe's not great for the Ronaldo stands. I don't know how. Certainly, you can't with a straight face start him right now until he finds some form. You know, I made a joke with a shit-eating grin in our group chat about, you know, is Donnie Van de Beek in better form than Cristiano Ronaldo right now? Right. Which, by the way, where is he at?
I have no idea.
Do we know where Donnie is? Is he in?
I'm assuming either he's
in England right now.
I have no idea. He's either injured and they're just not talking about it, or he has like serious problems with confidence right now. I'm thinking that maybe that's like a factor, or that could be something that's happening. But I mean, he's been nowhere near the matchday squad.
The last time I heard about Donnie Van de Beek is he got married. Is he still on honeymoon?
Right, and that and that was all like a ploy to get Frankie De Jong to to come over.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but
I will say coming out of this game though, whether or not we feel like touching on the horrific defensive lapses that came in this game in situations where United continue to prove that they're incredibly vulnerable in, and that's something that needs to get addressed pretty quickly. I think Martial at this point is probably fit. Would not surprise me if Martial starts against Everton. You know, if we get a front line of Martial and Rashford and Antony, like I think that could be quite something to watch on the weekend. I think Sancho probably played his way out of the starting 11 for now, and he'll need to probably regain some of the confidence of the manager.
I would like to see him with Martial and Rashford, though. What if we just that front three?
Yeah, let's 4-2-4, right? Well, now that we got the double pivot of Casemiro and Fred, I don't know. This team has ballers. Just got to figure it out. We got to string it all together because we do have ballers.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we did play Casemiro for most of this game, and he offered little, to say the least. In way of a defensive screen for the back four, who also did not have a good game. I think Victor Lindelof definitely looked like somebody who was out of form as well as, you know, potentially out of shape. He hasn't really been healthy for most of the start of this season. He missed the first few matches through injury, and he hasn't looked great since coming back in his cameo appearances. Casemiro, not very effective as a passer, not very effective as a defensive screen. Worrying that McTominay is still starting over him in the Premier League, and Christian Eriksen getting another full workload today, which is also worrying. Not that
that makes me nervous
badly, but just because he's a vital player of what we do.
Yeah, it does make me wonder the way Eriksen's getting minutes. You know, there was always the question when De Jong didn't become a part of the equation. And you saw these youth players get called up to be a part of the first team and get registered into the Premier League. We all kind of wondered when Ten Hag was going to start bleeding these guys in. It makes me wonder kind of where the development is going right now that Eriksen is still playing so many significant minutes and you're not really seeing them make it into matches. Like, I wonder if the Sharif game goes a little better. Maybe there's an opportunity. Hopefully we can kind of turn things around and nip this thing in the bud, guarantee our spot into the knockout stages. So that way some guys can get a game, akin to that Astana game that we watched a couple of years ago, where it was like Lee Grant and a nursery out on the field. So, and Jesse Lingard. Those were like the two chaperones. And then it was like a field trip to Kazakhstan. And with Jesse Lingard and Lee Grant.
Right. He was wearing the captain's armband that day.
Yeah. So, hopefully somebody else in the engine room can start maybe taking some minutes off of Erickson, because you just you wonder we're putting a lot of miles on him, and the World Cup is looming, and for all intent and purposes, we think he's going to probably be a big factor in Denmark again, like he has been. So who knows what shape he's going to be in when we come out of that World Cup break.
Yeah, we got to invest in some players that did not play in the World Cup. Like, for January transfer window, just find some guys who were pretty good but couldn't make the cut. And
Martin Odegaard?
Yeah, there we go. Erling Haaland, yeah.
Yeah. Is there any good, like, Egyptian midfielders? I'm trying to think of all the high profile. Italy. There's got to be an Italian midfielder,
yeah,
right?
I got some Italian players in here. Yeah. They know how to hit people and dominate midfield.
Can we get linked to Sergei Milinkovic-Savic again, just for the vibes? I'm still not convinced he's a real player.
Did Serbia make the World Cup?
I don't know.
No. Well, I'll tell you what, he's a very real player for my FIFA Ultimate Team.
Yes.
He and Dusan Vlahovic have been a nice chem link for my very interesting starting 11 that I've got going on.
Yeah. You think Borussia Dortmund would sell Jude Bellingham for anything less than $200 million at this point?
Absolutely not. That dude is like, his value is skyrocketing right now because, and I think it's mostly because Erling Haaland isn't at Dortmund anymore. So everyone is now like solely focused on Bellingham is the next one they're going to sell for huge profit. And he doesn't have a buyout clause. So that's going to be astronomical to make up for losing Erling Haaland for only $60 million. But yeah, I'm going to be so sad because he's not going to go to Manchester United. They definitely need to roll out the red carpet, do whatever 2010 LeBron recruiting tactics you have to do to try and get your foot in the door.
Dude, maybe Rick Pitino at Louisville tactics for recruiting. I don't care. Oh, we got to get this man over the line, bro.
Yeah, well, we'll
show Google that.
We'll show him a night out in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. I'm sure those strippers were lovely.
I'm like thinking, do we have to edit this part of the podcast out? But this isn't a college basketball podcast. We could probably talk about
that. There's like three people who probably understand what we're talking about. And they're like, I can't believe you brought up Rick Pitino.
I mean, hey, if you have no idea what happened there and you want to know, you can just Google Rick Pitino and
actually
open the
Colin,
controversies tab on his Wikipedia page.
Just edit this part out so that way we don't sound like we're promoting Rick Pitino.
No, I'm definitely not promoting Rick Pitino.
So, somebody who is clear. A lot less damaging, maybe Will Wade. You know, he just got tapped by the FBI for paying players.
Yeah.
You know, what if we just started paying Jude Bellingham now, you know?
Let's give him that Erling Haaland contract. Let's give him 900,000 pounds a week with very achievable bonuses.
Yeah, what if Jude was on, like, we bring him in now as a Manchester United ambassador, get him that NIL deal, start, you know, greasing the wheels a little bit, show him, like, yo, the checks are clearing, and, you know, a lot more of these checks could start clearing.
Just be like, 100,000 pound bonus for every five forward passes you make in a week.
Like, just indoctrinate him. Start putting headphones on him when he's going to bed and only playing like 80s new wave, just so that way he starts getting in that Manchester mindset. You know, like
get
we've got it
in Manchester. Yeah,
we got to incept him, dude.
I joked with Slade about this one time where he was talking about Marco Verratti and like dreaming of him potentially being a United player. That's never going to happen. And I was like, Suwaid, we're going to have to like completely redo Manchester. Like, we're going to have to revive the whole New Order vibes. We're going to have to reopen the Hacienda. We're going to have to do all this stuff. There's going to have to be a second wave of Britpop.
Yeah, it's going to suck when he goes someplace for Liverpool or City or Chelsea. I'm just not ready for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, it looks like top four is pretty open. So if United are able to scrape that out, they've at least got a chance. All right. I think that's going to do it for us on this podcast. I guess we could preview Everton a little bit since we play them on Sunday in Super Frank. By the way, Everton have actually had a pretty good defensive record, and they haven't lost a match in, I want to say, 5 or 6 matches. So potentially worrying. And it's seeming like Scott McTominay is probably going to start again in midfield. We'll see how that goes. But at this rate, he's probably a better choice than Casemiro, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, we do we spend £69 million to just like give Scott McTominay motivation?
we just paid Real Madrid's retirement package for him.
Yeah, because we just saw we paid only $15 million for Tyrell Malassi, and all of a sudden Luke Shaw is in the best shape of his life, and all you know comes in relief today, and he's looking really really good, and it's like, all right, is Luke Shaw back? Just needed another kick up the ass.
That should
be the recruitment plan, right?
Yeah.
Every year we just sign a new left back that looks promising and could be developed, but then like Luke Shaw goes, oh shit, all right, fine. I'll play harder, guys. I got this.
Figures out.
I'm still the best player going forward on the left side of the defense. So maybe another right wing or right back player, but.
Yeah, so this one is also at Goodison Park, and I'm going to pull up Everton's record the last few games here. Yeah, so they beat West Ham this past weekend 1-0, and then some 1-1 draws. Oh, yeah, three straight 1-1 draws. So this is a beatable Everton team, obviously, because they came into this season looking like they would be relegation favorites. It would be pretty embarrassing, I think, if United lose. I could see a draw happening since it is at Goodison Park. They beat West Ham and then they beat Southampton, so they're coming off of two wins.
Yeah, let's throw this game into the category of games that Manchester United should win. Will they? We don't know. I'm definitely not putting a score predictor on it at this point, because we have seen United struggle at Goodison Park in recent years, where it's just a super ugly game. And, you know, occasionally they haven't even won it or even drawn it. I would hope, I'm hoping we have seen enough sparks in what appears to be, at least to our dumb eyes, that I think we know who probably our best forward options are. So then the question is the midfield ready to get the ball to those players? Jury's out on that. You know, they've got some players at Everton that are going to try and muck things up, especially in the center of the park. And another thing that we have to be worried about is on the back end, if we get overextended, you know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin could burn us. And that's something
he's
that
healthy. Was Anthony Gordon as well as their winger who's highly sought after. Yeah. I just want to see Martial and Rashford have a good time. That's all I want.
Yeah, I think this game is winnable. We should win it. We need to win it, honestly. Coming off of the back of that City game, I think maybe we can use this Europa League game as kind of a way to steady the ship and go, all right, that City game sucked, but let's play to our potential here, because we're never going to be in the title race this year. This year is all about learning to play Ten Hag ball and hopefully finishing in a European place when everything's all said and done. Because I'd say there's some pretty competitive teams in the league this year. So I think a win against Everton would be really, really important. I hope we can achieve that. And I think it is achievable. just got to play with some confidence.
Dreaming of wins over Everton. Yeah, I would like to see Sancho, Martial, Rashford, obviously. I do think Antony's going to start again. I just hope that we can get some more coherent patterns of play, sort of like we saw from them in preseason in attack. Just they need to develop some chemistry there. We're not going to go out a whole season sitting way too deep.
Well, that's part of the problem we ran into.
Yeah.
Because we waited until the season started, it's like, oh, shit. You know, like,
we don't have another center forward.
Antony really hasn't had time to, you know, get bled in. He's still learning, you know. We've seen, like, the right wing position has been very weird for United for the last couple of years, and we finally have a quote-unquote real right wing player in there. So he's got to learn how to anticipate Dallow's movements. If we ever find ourselves in a position again where Aaron Wan-Bissaka has to play, then that'll be fun to witness, because I don't know how those two are going to work together on the right side at all.
I'm going to have to dust off some agendas.
Yeah. So I would like to see Antony continue to build that chemistry, build that confidence. We've seen that he can score wonderful goals. So I would like to see just a little bit more completeness in his game, where maybe he's creating some things too, not just scoring a goal with a low XG that we go, oh shit, look at that. You know, yeah. I'd set some guys up.
Give us the entertainment value in other areas as well.
Yeah, play with a little bit more confidence. And maybe this is an opportunity for him to get a couple dribbles in and find his feet under that. And then, you know, we can start just doing lines of that highlight tape until the end of the season.
I think, I mean, he's obviously got worldies in him, and I know Casemiro has a worldie in him too. So hopefully, you know, we see a spark from him in the near future. All right.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, is Casemiro, like, well, hopefully we, in a couple months, we look back on it and go, all right, it was a fitness thing. He wasn't playing for Real Madrid to start the season. And so he was trying to find his fitness while also trying to play in a new system that isn't built around maybe what he does. Hopefully that's the case, because right now it doesn't look super good.
Yeah, he's too expensive to already be a bust. I mean,
yeah. Like if we start tweeting out like give us McFred, that might be that'll be my Joker moment. Like straight up. You know what I miss? McFred. You always knew what you were gonna get for McFred.
That becomes our member, Barry. I'm looking forward to that. All right. So I think that's going to do it for us today. I know I've said that 3 times now, but I actually don't have anything else to ask you about. And I know that you've got something to go to. So thanks for this kind of impromptu post-game podcast. We wanted to get something else out this week since we recorded so early after the Derby. And we also wanted to just talk about anything other than the Derby. And thankfully, we had a revival of Marseille FC to do that for.
Yes. And stay tuned for our bonus pod about where we just talk about our FIFA Ultimate Teams. Now that we're a week under our belt with that game, super duper fun.
I'm still like too afraid to play Division Rivals with my team yet. Because I'm not like that great playing online anyway, but with a bad team especially, that I'm just not ready for that.
Well, here's the thing: you're set up perfectly to do it. You know, you go in with the poor team that doesn't have a bunch of special cards in it. So that way, if you play poorly, someone's like, oh, this guy, you know, just doesn't have a good enough team. Whereas like me, I've got a couple special cards of mine, and I lost 6-4 last night. And this dude messaged me like, oh, did you buy your team, bro? So, you know, you have to, you got to be ready to fight off those accusations. So honestly, you might be better off just sandbagging right now with an all gold team, maybe even a gold common or two in there that just has some pretty decent stats, and grind it out. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for the words of encouragement.
Yeah, man. I work in PR, man. I'm here to help you out with messaging and everything else.
But give me a sign off quote so I can
for everybody who likes soccer, the first place Richmond Kickers in USL League One have a chance to win the regular season on Saturday night. So pull for us. We're playing in Madison, 8 p.m. Eastern. 7 Central.
Be there.
Up the ruse.